very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Time Dublin 118, Kerry 15 points. Dublin have made history to be the first ever male team to do the five in a row.
Yeah, look, we've been involved in now six All-Ireland finals with the guys, and I haven't heard Dublin supporters as loud, I don't think, ever.
You have to congratulate Dublin on their achievement today. You're playing a team that have had five in the trot and seven in 9 years. Like I say, I'm very, very proud of the achievement of our lads and the way they fought and fought with their shoes on.
Five in a row, how does it feel?
Fine, yeah.
Was it actually talked about much in the year?
No, not really, no. Couldn't avoid it, though.
I'm very fortunate that, I've now got a lot of medals in my back pocket, and I'm thankful for everybody that's been a part of that.
Like, a lot of those supporters had a lot of bad days watching Dublin, and it's just nice. Those players have provided some really special days now for Dublin over the last number of years, so I think the players can be very proud of what they've achieved over the last number of years.
There. Good morning, and you are very welcome to our Dublin 5 in a row celebration here on 98FM. My name is Jamie Moore, and we are delighted to have you with us this morning after Jim Gavin's boys in blue made history at Croke Park. We'll hear from the Dublin boss and his opposite number, Peter Keane of Kerry. Dublin players Michael Darren McCauley and Philly McMahon will be here too, as well as Jason Sherlock and Charlie Redmond. Now, the lads were welcomed back to the Gibson Hotel last night, and that is where the party really started. And let's get our party underway on 98FM.
98FM. Now That's What I Call Sport.
Nathan Whelan, good morning. Happy Dubs 5 in a row show. How are you?
I've been better, I'm not going to lie. I'm sure there's a few sore heads in and around Dublin today, but it's allowed.
Yeah, now you're in your Dublin hat, which is very nice. And I'm in my Dublin jersey, which my dad left me this morning. He said, Jamie, I got you a Dubs jersey. I was like, great, Dad, thanks a million. Now, I'm 30, right? And I've been a size small or extra small clothes for my whole life, really. Bar when I was a baby, when I was probably even smaller. And my dad got me a large Dublin jersey. And then we took a photo there for the 98FM Twitter. The page is at 98FM. And it's fair to say, it doesn't really fit me.
Jamie, we could make two jerseys for you out of the jersey you're currently wearing. It's horrendous, I have to say.
But I have to wear it to celebrate the dub, surely?
Yeah, well, I can't really say much with my hat on at the minute either, so, you know. People in glass houses.
Yeah, I left the tags on it so I can bring it back to the shop or wherever you happen to get it or whatever, because, yeah, it's a bit big. But thanks, Dad, for that. And here's the Dubs arriving to the Gibson Hotel last night to, surprise, surprise, rounds of applause from the fans. Yeah, that was last night, and we know they partied long into the night. Of course, the morning after, the night before, when yesterday at Croker, they did this.
Full-time Dublin 118, Kerry 15 points. Dublin have made history to be the first ever male team to do the five in a row. Never has the adage goals win games seemed the more true than this evening. After a first half where Dublin started the better, only for Kerry to discover that by running at them they could match them, Owen Merchant gifted Dublin the dream second half start. Only 9 seconds in, David Moran broke the ball, but Owen Merchant ran onto it. He was pursued by Moran to no avail. He hit the net, and while Kerry responded with 2 points from there, Dublin held on to control, allowing things to even go tepid at times as they dictated the pace, while the likes of Kilkenny, Mannion and O'Callaghan hit over important scores to create a gap that Kerry couldn't close, especially when their shooting went awry. Full time, Dublin 118, Kerry 15 points.
Yeah, Mara Trasny, Callie Croker yesterday. The boys are back in town in the background on the big PA system at Croke Park. And Nathan, the Sunday newspapers are packed to the rafters with blue headlines.
They are indeed, and of course Molly Malone references as expected. The Irish Sun on Sunday went with 5 alive 0. The Irish Sunday Mirror went 5 alive 0, which is completely different. The Daily Star on Sunday went with Gavin's famous 5. The Irish Mail on Sunday said Blutopia, and the Sunday Times went with the Immortals, which of course we all know that they are.
Yes, love being a newspaper editor and coming up with the cheesy headlines and the cheesy photos and whatever. But yeah, they were sitting in their office last night going, we have to have the best headline. And they're all great, to be fair.
They are all amazing in their own way.
Now let's get on with the real business. And the man who's led the Dubs to 5 in a row, the manager Jim Gavin, who spoke to Dubs TV's Derek Ryan on the pitch at Croker shortly after his team lifted that Sam Maguire trophy again.
Yeah, I'm just absolutely elated. I'm so thrilled for the players. You see all the work that they do, the sacrifice, the hours they commit to their craft of Gaelic football. I'm delighted for the GAA clubs that support them and who have developed them. Delighted, obviously, for Dublin, the county, and just really for our fantastic supporters, those who are here with us today. And I know some people can get tickets, and then we've got other people overseas. I've got so many friends and... You know, in England and Wales and Scotland, even in Europe and in America, tuning in, and you know, just life for everybody that's associated with Dublin GAA, and not just the players that took to the field to play, the guys who travelled, I suppose, on 26 and who didn't partake, and then you've got the likes of Onor Garrett, one of my favourite players, who's just committed so much to this team this year, Michael Shields. Just all the guys who have just done so well. I'm just thrilled for them all.
You were expecting a fierce contest this evening. You certainly got that this evening, especially in that first half. A really, really brilliant contest from Kerry. Obviously the goal on Merchant's goal to start of the second half, a very unexpected goal score as well. But that was maybe the key score in the game.
Yeah, look, the first quarter we played really well. Created some great shots, took them. A lot of turnover ball in that second quarter of the game. And gave them some momentum, and you know, two drop shorts before the half time. A loose hand pass, and with a side like Kerry, they're gonna do well. But listen, great set move on the trope. Great goal by Murch. Not surprised he's well able to score them. Then from then on, I thought the work rate was phenomenal. Their discipline, the tackle. Some things might have gone away again, but listen, you just got to roll up your sleeves, and this team always stands tall and proud to be Dublin players and to represent the county. And the way they finished the game off, and again, we got a full complement on of replacements and finishers on this day, and I think that made the difference. And I'm just thrilled.
You mentioned the support all year; it's been brilliant, and it was brilliant again this evening. The cries of "Come on, you boys in blue!" at certain points before the game, and even obviously towards the end of the game as well. It's absolutely incredible again this evening.
Yeah, look, we've been involved in now 6 All Ireland finals with the guys, and each of them are unique, and the most recent one always stays in memory. But I haven't heard Dublin supporters as loud, I don't think ever, and that means a lot. And the players always reference it, that how much it means them to represent. Our county of Dublin. We're all proud Dubs. We're just delighted to be able to produce a performance like that, and to back up those people who have, made the time to be with us tonight. And I'm just delighted for them, our supporters who even stuck to the very end. And all credit to Kerry as well. The Kerry team management, all the Kerry players paid respect, and you wouldn't expect anything less from them as well. But I'm just delighted for Dublin GAA. Delighted.
You made history this evening. It's 5 All Irelands in a row. No team has ever done that before. You have to be a very, very proud man this evening to have achieved that.
Yeah, it's not really something we reference coming into the game. I don't want to be flipping about it. I know records mean a lot, but you got to be excited about even the year ahead. Listen, that's probably for another day. We're just going to really enjoy tonight and the next couple of weeks, and bringing the cup around to the schools is probably the most enjoyable part of it, and see the kids, and giving Come the Moon School a bit of a lift. There's lots of sports in Dublin. It's a great city. Obviously, we're trying to get a mark with Gaelic games. It's our identity. There's a uniqueness about our sport, and it really represents Irish, I suppose, the Irish DNA. Hurling, football, camogie. We'll be back here tomorrow with ladies football. I wish them, Mick and the girls, the best of luck, and hopefully we can celebrate a great weekend for sport and great weekend for Dublin football.
Yeah, the Dubs ladies playing Galway in the All-Ireland ladies final later on at Croker, and in a few minutes, in about 40 minutes or so, maybe half an hour actually, we're going to hear from the Dublin ladies boss Mick Bone and the captain Sinead O'Hearn, and Charlie Redmond will join us to look back on the 5 in a row. Now Nathan, I was getting creative and you write all of our podcast headlines and website stuff, and I'd like people on our text or WhatsApp number now to help us. It's 0877 98 98 98, and I'm looking for the hashtag or the phrase we're going to use next year when Dublin are going for 6 in a row, because we've had the hashtag drive for 5. So I've my own one, if I can give it to you. Our listeners again on text or WhatsApp voice note, send your congratulations to the Dubs, sing us a Dubs song, or tell us what you think we should use next year on 0877 98 98 98 is the number. Mine is hashtag search for 6.
Really?
Do you like it?
I do like it, yeah. I think I was going with the whole Ryman scheme. I'm thinking with the fix for six.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or being in the mix for six. I just came up with that right there.
Yeah, very nice. So Nathan's is in the mix for six and mine is hashtag search for six. So if you can better it, text or WhatsApp right now 0877 98 98 98 for a bit of fun. Now, we're going to continue our review of yesterday's game and we heard from one very happy manager in Jim Gavin. One not so happy but very proud of his team, the Kerry boss Peter Keane, chatting to Moira Trasany Kelly.
Look, of course we're disappointed it's an Ireland and final replay. We came here with the intention to win the drawing game. We came here with the intention to win today and we didn't, and we're disappointed.
You nearly had it twice. What do you think was the missing ingredient?
I suppose, look, there was opportunities that we probably just didn't take, and that'll happen. I suppose we fought very, very well to get back into the game. We were down 5 points at one stage in that first half, and we got back to level it at half-time. And, moving on then into the second half, I think the concession of the goal immediately after half-time, but if you're going to concede one, it probably gives you 40 minutes to get it back, and we got it back to about 2 again. But, you're not playing a bad team either, you have to congratulate Dublin on their achievement today. You're playing a team that have 5 in the trot and 7 in 9 years. Like I say, I'm very, very proud of the achievement of our lads and the way they fought and fought with their shoes on.
Before I let you go, you've been up close and personal now against Dublin twice this year and obviously earlier as well. What do you think, what do they have? Obviously you're the person who's nearly cracked that nut. What is it that they have that other teams just don't have at the moment?
I suppose, look, they have players, and that's ultimately what it comes down to. We can look at something whichever way we want, but at the end of the day, it is players win games.
That is the Kerry manager, Peter Keane. Now, I love our listeners, Nathan, because we've already had WhatsApps and texts in, and a photo from Sandra with a T-shirt, a blue Dubs T-shirt, with already written on the back, buzzing for the half dozen.
Now, that's definitely much better than both of our suggestions.
Yeah, there's one more in as well. Sixly the best.
Sixly the best.
Yeah, very nice. And pray for the Shay, says Will.
Oh, for Shay. Ah, yeah, I like that, Shay. I like that.
Why? Shay what?
Six in Irish is Shay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Penny didn't drop. Pray for the Shay. Yeah, so keep them coming in. 0877 98 98 98. And if you want to check out our Twitter page at 98FM, we've just tweeted that photo of the hashtag buzzing for the half dozen T-shirt. So you can have a look at that on our Twitter page. Now, some Dublin players, they surely have some sore heads this morning. But before they went and party the night away, we spoke to two of them, Michael Darragh-McCauley and Philly McMahon, speaking to Philip Egan.
Five and a half, how does it feel?
It's fine, yeah.
Was it actually talked about much in the year?
No. Not really, no. Couldn't avoid it, though. Any street we walked down, we heard the number five. But, we never got preoccupied with it at any stage.
It's probably one of those things that, in years to come, you can probably reflect on it as the first team, the first men seem to do it.
Yeah, like, I kind of said it before, like, it really didn't weigh heavily on me. I can't speak for the lads, but as a group, it didn't feel like it weighed heavily on us. We definitely heard it. There was no point in kind of hiding the facts, but yeah, look, it's great with all these things, even winning one, winning two, winning three, whatever. Like, it's all at the end of the day sort of stuff, and it's you know, we'll, as I said before, we'll count it all up on a bar stool someday when we're all men.
What about the game itself? Replays are often about what teams learned from the first game, and it just seemed the team was more focused, especially holding on to possession, waiting for the scoring chances.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it was far from a perfect performance from us. And Kerry, where we were giving it all in the first half, and they were right there with us at half time. So, look, it's a serious Kerry out for him. I'm not trying to play politics here. It's a serious Kerry team, and unfortunately, there's a mountain coming through at minor 21. So, look, those lads are going to be wasting Crow Park for a long, long time. And yeah, I'm sure they're going to get a few more wins as well.
Many All Ireland's now? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Do you want eight?
Haven't decided.
I suppose it's kind of like a weight off your shoulders in many ways. You know, there's been a lot of information seeking into us all throughout the year, and it's gone now. Like, it's done. It's relief. I suppose that's the big word. I think I feel now. To me, people talk about making history, and I think a lot of lads on this team, they've had a huge amount of achievements in their life and in their career as well. So this is just another notch in history, I suppose, for a lot of them. Like, for me, I'm very fortunate that I've now got a lot of medals in my back pocket, and I'm thankful for everybody that's been a part of that. Well, you just respect that, like, because people come up to you and see you as a footballer, and you respect that. That's what they're going to say to you. And sometimes people come up to you and say five in a row, and you go, is that a question or what am I going to say? What's my response to that? So it's I suppose we haven't really been telling lawyers when we say, when people talk to us and say five in a row, that we respect that this is as footballers and that's all they see, but we couldn't be thinking that far ahead because, well, whenever it was said to us, but because it would have distracted us and it wouldn't have got us over the line. So
now that it has been achieved, can you sit back and think, wow, that's...
Yeah, now you can. Now you can say you've done it and nobody can take that away from you.
Obviously, there was a replay 3 years ago as well. What's it like as a player where you might feel 2 weeks ago that that was going to be the end of the season, but now it's been prolonged by another 2 weeks?
Well, I had my stags the following week, so I got a double whammy. So, but I suppose when you think about it, the this season has been shortened already, so we would be normally only playing in All-Ireland now and anyway, so it didn't make a difference for me or any of the lads. We've been here, we've done it, we've been in a replay in All-Ireland final, so that experience certainly helped us.
Is the stag being rescheduled?
It is, yeah. Thankfully to me mates, they had to fork out a few extra quid and it's going to be next week, so fell nicely. And if we drew again, I don't know what I would have done because the lads, I would have had very few friends, I suppose, because they would have definitely headed off and left me on my own here.
Yeah, Philly McMahon before him, Michael Darmacauley. Philly McMahon had to postpone his stag. Thankfully, they've won. So Philly McMahon's probably going to be on the batter for about 2 weeks because they've won the All-Ireland and he's going on a stag. So fair play to Philly and enjoy the stag party. Now, Nathan, our listeners are brilliant and we have lots of... six in a row chasing hashtags for next year. Give us a couple on our text there.
Yeah, Bernard sent in, it's never a fix, we're going for six. Well, Johnny from Bray said the kick for six as well. I like the ring of those.
Yeah, hashtag six in the city, up the Dubs, says another person on WhatsApp. And Declan Costello from Skerries, I think the Dubs six in the mix, and well done to Dublin on your five in a row yesterday. And thanks to Declan Costello for that. If you have a hashtag for us for next year to help us, the number on text or WhatsApp is 0877 98 98 98. Now, what about Jason Sherlock? He won the All-Ireland in 1995 as a player with Jim Gavin, the manager, as a teammate. And now he's on the coaching team that made history yesterday. And what did he think of it all? Well, our Maura Trasny-Kelly has that answer.
Winning yet another All-Ireland, this time as a manager, as a player, and rather than a player, obviously, or as part of the management team, what feels better?
Winning feels better. Unfortunately, I did it once as a player. That's a long time ago. So, but learned a lot of lessons and a lot of harsh lessons as a player. So I'd like to think since I've been involved with Jim, things have gone very well for the team. And we're just, every day we're looking to learn, looking to get better. And I think the performance today, again, was better than the last day. And it was enough to get that victory.
Football obviously has evolved from 1995, which I still think is yesterday, but people keep informing me it's much longer ago than that. Jim Gavin, I'm assuming, has evolved as a person as well. What do you think the difference is between Jim Gavin, the player of the 90s, and Jim Gavin, the manager of today?
Well, sure, as a player you're only kind of thinking about yourself. As a manager you have to obviously take a lot more factors in, and I think to Jim's credit over the last number of years he's shown he's there to serve, and he's very humble in that regard. I think his style of leadership has given Dublin the environment and the culture to perform, but ultimately it's down to the players. You know, they're the ones that set the standards, they're the ones that bring the motivation, and a manager is nothing without the players.
Are the players of today different compared to when you were playing?
They probably are, but I suppose they're more curious. But as we know from a sports science point of view and a tactical point of view, players want to know more and they want to know more information, and I suppose as a management team we want to provide them with as much as we can. And again, that's to their credit, they want to learn every day, they have a mindset that they can get better. And again, the last 2 weeks it was all about learning from the last day and preparing accordingly. And I suppose that's where we got that performance from today.
Five in a row, obviously it's a massive achievement. It's never been done before except obviously by the Cork ladies. I know you're going to say it was just a game, it's just one All-Ireland, but I'm sure you want to kick back now and think that actually is pretty cool.
I'm sure I will at some stage. I think initially my thoughts are with the players because they're the ones that deserve, and they deserve all the plaudits for what they've put in. Some young, some old. Again, you look around Croke Park, and as much as people have issues with Dublin, and I can understand some of it, like a lot of those supporters had a lot of bad days watching Dublin, and it's just nice. Those players have provided some really special days now for Dublin over the last number of years. So I think the players can be very proud of what they've achieved over the last number of years.
Obviously the backroom team can only be proud as well.
Yeah, and again, we like obviously Jim has put a team together there, and as again we've just tried to facilitate the players as best we can, and we've got a lot of things wrong, we've got some things okay, and it's just a nice environment to be working on. So no, definitely anyone on the backroom team can share in the credit of this.
Before I let you go, obviously we've all heard about your famous runs in and out off the sideline now, and the speed still probably as fast as it was in 1995, maybe even faster if you're still in training and know a bit more about sports science. You were saying a bit earlier there about how the players like information coming to them. Is that what you're doing when you're going out? Like, what are you giving them, stats from upstairs, or what are you doing?
No, far from it. Once you're in the heat of battle, it's not about stats. Again, I suppose you just go in the role that you can, and you try to either reassure or kind of encourage and stuff like that, and ultimately that's all you're there for. If I was a player, I'd like to be able to have someone in that can give me a reassuring word in my ear, and that's what I try to do. But to be fair, those players don't need much instruction.
Yeah, the Mair Fuarna, the water boy, that's his real title, but he's more than that, of course. Jason Sherlock, a key man on Jim Gavin's coaching team. Now, Dublin legend Charlie Redmond, another member of that famous 95 team, will help us look back on history and ahead to the Dubs' future soon. We'll preview today's All-Ireland Ladies Football Final between Dublin and Galway as the girls in blue look to make it 3 in a row. And we'll round up what else is going on this weekend with the Rugby World Cup just a week away. Shelburne back in the League of Ireland Premier Division 2. We're back in a sec.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport.
You're very welcome back to Now That's What I Call Sport. More on the Dubs and 98 FMs. League of Ireland Sunday is on the way very soon. But this time next week, Ireland will be in the middle of their opening Rugby World Cup match against Scotland. It kicks off at 8:30 Irish time in Yokohama in Japan. And Ireland are there busy preparing. We're going to hear from the head coach Joe Schmidt in just a second. But first, former Leinster Lions and Ireland man and our resident rugby expert Shane Byrne is on the line. Shane, welcome back to the show again. How are you?
I'm very good, and yourself?
Great stuff, Shane. You're a Dub, of course, as well. Were you watching the boys in blue winning the All-Ireland yesterday?
No. Really, just that a little bit. I'm not
a Dub. Sorry, you're not really. You're from Wicklow, of course.
Not really. I'm a Wicklow man, yeah.
So you were cheering for Kerry?
Absolutely, I was.
Get off the show immediately. You're cancelled.
I love these are the ways. They were fantastic. They took control of the game the last quarter. Two great games. No doubt about it, but well deserved in the end.
Yeah, would you believe a friend of mine from Bray in County Wicklow, Shane, yesterday on Instagram, walking around Bray in a Dublin jersey. What do you think about that now?
A brave man. Very brave man.
He is. So, Shane, we're ready for the World Cup this day next week. It's all going to begin, and the team are there. They're settling into Japan. They're getting used to the heat and the rain and the monsoons and the weather. How important, though, that they're out there, you know, a week, 10 days early to get ready for this opening game?
It's very important. Like, there is the whole settling in, climatising and all that. As you say, the weather is a lot hotter than it is here at the moment. But it's just really to make it more familiar, because you don't want to land in a strange circumstances and then you have to concentrate the game. You just want to get all that over with and then get on to it. That, look, you're in routine. You know where you are. You know what you're doing. And a lot of teams have done it differently. Like South Africa, I think it's touching on the third week that they're there at the moment. You know, they again, as well as we do, have a huge game at the start of the World Cup. And everybody is doing it slightly different, but it's an amazing buzz when you get there. Thankfully, it was in two World Cups. And it really is, you know, everything in the area that you go to, you see it's all World Cup. There's an amazing buzz going around. Supporters start arriving. And it really just shows you that, yeah, you're involved in something great here.
Shane, on the supporters, and you've spoken about your own experiences at World Cups, and we've seen how great the Irish fans have been in the Six Nations, which of course are all, you know, quite easy trips to make at the Aviva Stadium, of course, as well. For example, when we beat the All Blacks in Chicago, the Irish crowd there, lots of them living in America, but also lots who flew over. Japan is not exactly on our doorstep, but there will be a good number of Irish fans making the trip there. They'll have some experience, and the players, I know, massively do appreciate the amount of effort that fans go to support the team.
Absolutely. I was in Singapore a few days ago doing a charity dinner out there, and just a huge Irish support there travelling over. You got to remember, like, it's not just you're thinking about the Irish who are already there. Japan is so much easier to get to for all that Asia area. There's a huge amount of Irish support will travel up from Australia as well. And you know, it's far easier than it is for us to get there. But you know, there is still the contingents. You know, I know travel agents have 1,000+ people going out. You know, the Cholester Travel Boys are one of the main ones, and they have a huge contingent going out. And, like, that's exactly the way it should be. Is that, look, this is a great World Cup, and it's the first World Cup we've ever gone out number one seed. Now, I know it still seems a bit strange to us, considering the form hasn't been wonderful, but it is accumulation of what we've done over the last two seasons that have us to that point. And hopefully, with the game last weekend, giving us a bit more confidence going into it.
Yeah, Ireland will play Scotland, Japan, Russia and Samoa in the pool stage as well. But Scotland first up, as we mentioned, next Sunday. Now, Shane, the head coach, Joe Schmidt, has been speaking overnight, of course, because of the time difference in Japan, where we're getting his audio kind of in the middle of the night. So it's the first time we're going to get to play it on 98FM today. And, of course, he announced that he is going to leave the Irish job at the end of this campaign. And he's planned to go home to New Zealand to be with his family. But he's given an update to journalists overnight on that situation. Take a listen.
No, we'll probably stay in Ireland for some time. We've become pretty settled there. A big motivator for me to get back was family, and unfortunately we lost our mum recently. So just on the back of that, we'll take a bit of a breath and make some decisions beyond that.
Yeah, of course, our condolences to Joe on the passing of his mother, and he did fly home for her funeral in the middle of the World Cup preparation. And we know, Shane, that Andy Farrell will be the head coach after this World Cup as well, but the assumption was that Joe Schmidt would be leaving to go home. He's going to stay here in Ireland for now, and of course Andy Farrell will still take over as head coach, but it's interesting that Joe is going to remain in Ireland. His family are settled here and he's not going too far away just yet.
Isn't it? It really is. Like, it's terrible sad news about his mum, and that was the main reason they were going home, was to go and spend time there, and, you know, very, very sad for the family. But it really is for him going forward, because look, regardless of anything, and okay, the guy has had it very, very intense for the last decade or so, but he is a coach, that's what he does, and you can't imagine him not getting back into it at some point or another. And, you know, the one thing I suppose with Joe, that with the talent that he has, that you don't want him going to anywhere else. That's why I always thought New Zealand would take him in some way or another, get him in as a consultant or something, because wherever Joe goes, that team is going to get better. And particularly if Ireland have a half-decent run in this World Cup, his worth will only go up. And, you know, people will come knocking, and that, you know, and the Ireland setup is already locked down. You know, that can't go back on that. As we all know, it's still a business. Contracts are all signed. But it's going to be very, very interesting to know that Joe is just down the road if things, you know, start going awry for Ireland after the World Cup.
Yeah, and surely a role maybe somewhere in the IRFU or working with the academy teams or overseeing the provinces or something. If Joe Schmidt is going to be in Ireland and does want to still work in rugby, surely they will find a role from somewhere, maybe a break after the World Cup and then back into it in some capacity as well. Shane, lastly, Ireland going into this, as we mentioned, the number one ranked team in the world after those back-to-back wins over Wales. Can we win the World Cup?
Can we? Yes.
Will we?
We can. Well, no, that's another question. That's completely different. Look, to win the World Cup, it takes a huge amount of luck, a huge amount of ability from a squad. We certainly have that. Would we wanted the World Cup to be in 2018? Yeah, I think we all know that the team was absolutely at its peak in 2018, and we don't really know where the team is at the moment. I think that's key to it. I think the Devon Toner selection is one thing. We've hoped that there's something going on, that the squad know better than we do, that they're holding our game plans back. And that is what, to me, the Devon Toner thing looks at, because we all looked at the line-out isn't exactly going fantastic. The automatically response, the easy response to that is bring Devon Toner. They didn't bring Devon Toner, which to me means that the line-out isn't as bad as it thinks, so that therefore there's a lot more going on behind closed doors than we know about. So we've got to hope that that is the case and that they are going to come out, because they know that Scotland are going to be waiting in absolute ambush. They really, really have to win this game. What a lot of people don't know is that the host nation have some say in the way the fixtures are laid out, and they chose to have Scotland last in the group because Japan really wanted to get out of this group, and they looked at the Ireland-Scotland game and they went, we're going to beat whoever loses that game. They think it was going to be Scotland. So Scotland now know that they have to win against Ireland. So everything they have is going to be poured into that game so that the group stages goes a little better for them. But back to Ireland, the one thing that you have to say is that if Ireland get momentum going, if Ireland come out and start rediscovering any type of form that they had in 2018, the one thing is for sure is that nobody will want to play us, including the two guys we're going to be playing in the quarterfinals, whichever one it is. Both those teams have lost to an Ireland team playing fantastically well. And if we start to rediscover that form, that is going to be a huge, huge plus for us. But look, let's not fool ourselves. It's going to be a very hard World Cup. It's probably the most competitive World Cup that there's ever been. You could name at least six sides who potentially could win the World Cup. And for Ireland to finally get over the step of the quarterfinals with the task that we have, it's going to be a huge, huge mountain. But if we start, if Joe Smith starts showing that there's something that we haven't seen in the last four games, you know, then you never know. We do have a chance.
Great stuff as always, Shane Byrne. Thanks a million. Enjoy the World Cup and we'll speak to you soon.
Take care, man.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Now, Shelburne will be playing Premier Division football in the League of Ireland next season after a 3-1 win over Drogheda United in front of a sellout of over 2,500 fans on Friday. They've won the First Division League title and I caught up with some of their heroes, Luke Byrne, Ciarán Kilduff, Jason McGuinness, the legendary kitman Johnny Watson and the manager Ian Morris.
Ah, yeah, it was a bit surreal, to be honest. All year we dreamed, obviously, and worked towards winning the league. But I think when that moment comes, you're not really ready for it. And it was just obviously great. Just a bit of carnage, really. It was madness. But probably only when you look back at the videos now, you realise how mad it was, because you couldn't really take it all in. It was just a bit of shock or delight and all that kind of thing, you know?
No, listen, it was a great feeling. You know, there was a bit of pressure on us maybe coming over the last couple of games as well. It's hard to get one over the line. Never easy, but, you know, we got the breaks tonight. I thought we were good. I thought we deserved it. And thankfully, we got the work done.
Well done, yeah.
So, job done.
You're a legend.
Thanks, Johnny.
Jamie McGuinness, hello. Hey, we're on video. We're having a chat with the lads. How does it feel to be the assistant manager to let Shelburne back to the Premier?
Delight. It's great for the players. It's great for Shelburne. There's good supporters here. So that's for them. We're delight.
You've been around the league a long time. How does a night like this compare? The atmosphere, the late goals, the celebrations, everything?
It's really up there because it's not easy to win games, let alone win league. So it wouldn't be disrespectful to anything you win. So absolutely delighted to have got another league. For men like this who've been at the club for donkeys, he's the lifeblood of the club, and it's nice to see men like this really, really enjoy it.
Johnny Watson, Shelburne legend, Shelburne kit man, Shelburne hero. I was beside your dugout when the third goal went in. You went to your knees and you were crying because this club means so much to you.
It does, it means a lot.
How would you sum up that?
Just from the time that the lads came in, Morrow, Jay, Borky, the whole lot, when they came in, they turned this club around. They brought the club back to where it should be. I'm so happy tonight because my father's looking down on me there, and that's exactly why I went down on my knees, because I was praying to him all day. I have rosary beads in my kit room. I have a miraculous medal in my other kit room, and I'm just so happy tonight. I just can't. There's no words to describe it. Up to tonight, this was the only trophy we've never won in this league or in the country. Yeah, we've won it now. We're going back to the big time because we're a big time club. How do I sum it up? It's one of the greatest nights of my life. In fact, tonight is the greatest night of my life.
Collie, you've been in the dressing room. The last players I spoke to hadn't been in yet. What's it like in there?
Oh, madness. Absolute madness. Just can't put it into words. Boys in there really, really deserve it. Like, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. It's been a great year. I've loved every minute. And I'm delighted for everybody at the club of Shelburne, the fans, the players. I just can't, you know, I'm unbelievable, speechless.
So, with the Shells head coach Ian Morris, the league-winning manager for this season, Ian, you've had about probably 45 minutes since the match. That scene, so I have an 11-minute video from beside your dugout when the final whistle blows to your players going back in. Just absolute madness.
Oh, it was madness. It was madness. You can see how much that means to them supporters. That's all I kept hearing. You don't know what this means, and I do. I put my heart and soul into this season, and I've just been blessed with the group of players I have, the backroom staff, the volunteers at the club. It's just, they made my job very, very easy this season.
Yeah, massive congrats to everybody at Shelburne, and that full piece around 12 minutes long of all those interviews will be in the podcast section of 98FM.com straight after the show. Elsewhere in the First Division, Cabin Teedy secured a playoff place with a 3-1 win over Athlone. And Galway beat Cove 7-1 in Aimé DC Park. It finished Limerick 4, Wexford 1. And one game last night, Longford Town 1, Bray Wanderers 2. A good win for Bray, but they won't be in the playoffs this coming season. In the Premier Division, Bowes 1, Waterford 2 was the final score at Dalyman Park. It finished Pats 0, UCD 0 at Richmond. And Sligo Rovers picked up an important 3 points in a 3-1 victory over Finn Harps. And Nathan, last night, the EA Sports Cup final at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium.
Yes, and Dundalk beat Derry City 6-5 on penalties to claim that cup. They twice came from behind as Michael Duffy and Sean Gannon both struck to cancel out goals from David Park. Parkhouse and Junior Ogedi Ozokwe. They couldn't be separated to finish 2-2. They headed for penalties and Chris Shields was the man who converted the winning spot kick as the Lilywhites aim for the treble.
Yeah, we'll have some Dundalk heroes in our League of Ireland podcast studio on Wednesday as well as some Shelburne heroes too.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98FM.
Now, on last week's show, we spoke to Vera Powell, the new Ireland Women's National Team manager, Nathan, and she couldn't confirm her staff then, but she has announced her assistant manager, and it's someone very familiar to the FAI.
It is indeed. Vera Powell has appointed Eileen Gleeson as her assistant manager, and this news comes ahead of our first game in charge, which is against the Ukraine at Tallaght Stadium for a vital Euro 2021 qualifier on the 8th of October.
Yes, Eileen Gleeson involved in the Women's National League for years and years, and the best of luck to her in her new job. And the Paralympics, Nathan, we're getting ready for it, and we have some news about someone from Ireland who's qualified.
We do indeed. Nicole Turner has secured a bronze medal for Ireland at the World Para Swimming Alliance Championships in London, so a huge congratulations to her.
Yeah, now we're going back to the Dubs next on 98, the All-Ireland Ladies Football Final preview, Dublin against Galway, as the girls in blue look to make it 3 in a row. Manager Mick Bowen and captain Sinead O'Hearn will be here, and Charlie Redmond will help us reflect again on 5 in a row for the men. We're back in a sec.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Now it's TG Carr All-Ireland Ladies Football Final day at Croke Park, the junior final for Mana against Loud at 11:45. At a 1:45, it's the intermediate final between Meath and Tipperary. And then at 4, the big one, the Dubs against Galway, as the girls in blue look to make it 3 All-Ireland football titles in a row. Here's the views of their manager, Mick Bowen, speaking to Dubs TV's Derek Ryan.
In terms of experience of All-Ireland finals, this is obviously Dublin's 6th All-Ireland final in a row. How much will that count on All-Ireland final day, coming up against a Galway side who wouldn't be as experienced, obviously, at All-Ireland finals? Would you think that'll count for something?
Yeah, it does, of course, absolutely. But in the same token, we 5 or 6 girls who've never played in All-Ireland finals, so look, the older girls will certainly pass on their experience, and it does for sure. I mean, even last year, with the increase in numbers, a number of the senior girls would have commented on the volume that was there when they walked around the stadium for the anthem. So all those things are factors, but look, at the end of the day, we saw last weekend with Kerry, with very little experience, how they certainly be able to manage the big day.
What is All-Ireland final week like for yourself, Mick? I'm guessing it's a busy one.
Yeah, busy, but realistically, the week after the Cork game was a busier one, because you're immediately back down to work to see, have a look at your opponents and see the threats that they have, and equally whether they're weak or weakness, perceived weaknesses. So all that work is done, and you know, now we look forward to the game.
And finally, you mentioned at the start about how it's a big weekend, obviously, for Dublin football, both the men and the ladies playing in All-Ireland finals at Croke Park. It's a once-in-a-lifetime situation that's happening this weekend. How important will it be to get a big support at Croke Park to support the girls on Sunday?
Look, everyone knows, I suppose, the energy that you get from the crowd when, you know, either things aren't going well or things are going well. That noise that transfers onto the pitch and gives an energy surge. But I think it's an incredible weekend for Dublin football people in general. It's obviously unique for people who are looking to make history, or players looking back or reflecting on their careers. Isn't it incredible to be part of you know, festival of football in the city? And we're extremely proud that, you know, we're one of two All-Irelands on the first time ever for two Dublin teams to contest two All-Irelands on the same weekend. So we're certainly very proud of that.
That's the Dublin football manager Mick Bowen speaking to Dubs TV and Derek Ryan. And his captain Sinead O'Hearn sat down with Will O'Callaghan this week.
Mick was saying earlier, it makes no real difference the fact that the men's final has gone to a replay and they're playing here on Saturday. He's hoping that it'll actually be a case of Dublin supporters will make a conscious effort to try and go to both finals. I'm sure that's something that you'd be trying to encourage them to do.
Yeah, it'd be nice, I suppose. You know, it could be a great weekend, you know, in terms of the buzz and the colour and the energy that'll come to the city from the men's game. So it'd be nice to think that might, you know, roll over in terms of people getting out to see our game on Sunday. But, you know, we want them to come out to see a good game, to enjoy it, you know, as opposed to feeling that, you know, it's a second-class citizen to what happens on Saturday. And, you know, we've prepared as best we can. I'm sure Galway, you know, are going to come with it with a huge performance, and we're hoping that we can match that, and that, you know, as a result, the game will be a good game.
Last year, 50,000 came through the turnstiles, and 40,000 or up is the target for this time round. I'm sure you're hoping as players that a big crowd are going to converge in here for the three finals on Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, I suppose, like, you know, the association, the LGF, they've put in a lot of work again to try and do that, and obviously with 20 by 20, their commitment is trying to increase attendance. So you know, it'll be great to see, and you can kind of, you can tell from the crowds that have been coming in the last few years, it's building on the, I suppose, the family day aspect to it has always been there, and that's great to see so many kids coming in. But, you know, equally there's more and more punters that are coming in that are, you know, watching the game and looking at it as a spectacle, and, you know, from an analytical point of view, that's great to see.
As captain, you've had, I suppose, the luck of being there over the last couple of years as the leader of this group. When it comes around to All-Ireland final day, will you do much talking with the team on the final day, or how does it work for you on a personal level?
It kind of just depends, I suppose, on the vibe. Like, you know, we'll obviously do a lot of work this week leading up in terms of, you know, covering off all the sort of final elements to it. So, you know, at different times it'll be, you know, different words or that kind of thing. But no, in general it tends to be I take a back seat unless there's something very obvious to be said, which isn't usually the case. I mean, the girls are very self-led, and management do a great job of developing that in terms of a culture of a team. So no, it's more just kind of keeping the finger on the pulse, and no, I don't think there's too much to be said. The girls are very, very driven, and the final words are usually pretty there's not too much to be said.
Dublin captain Sinead O'Hearn ahead of today's All-Ireland Ladies Football Final. Dublin against Galway, throw-in at Croker is at 4 o'clock as the girls in blue look to make it 3 All-Ireland football titles in a row. Now, from 3 in a row to 5 in a row, and 95 All-Ireland winner with the Dubs, Charlie Redmond, is on the line with a bit of a lack of a voice, should we say. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
You were partying late into the night with the Dubs. Well done on everybody involved. And yeah, you enjoyed a few sips last evening to celebrate.
Well, had a couple of baby shams, probably one too many last night. But yeah, look, I mean, you couldn't enjoy yourself last night. When could you enjoy yourself? It was a great day. It was a great atmosphere around the city last night, and it was something to behold. Like, days like this are, like, I mean, I know we're talking about history, but really, this great association that we have, this is the first one's ever been done in either code. So if you couldn't enjoy last night, you'll never enjoy any night.
Yes, indeed. And a really great game, Charlie, as well. The second half, the goal of Mo Merchant just after the break as well. 9 or 10 seconds it was. And I listened to the first half on the radio. I was on the way home from a game in Belfast and listened to the lads just describe it. It was just amazing to think that so soon after half-time, the Dubs effectively got the key moment of the game for themselves.
Yeah, it was probably a mirror image of what happened against Mayo, where they came out after half-time and really, really went at the opposition. A bit like they did in the first half of the first open exchanges, double one on top of it in every sector. And they really took the game to Kerry. Now, this Kerry team are a hell of a football team, and they're going to come back, and they're going to come back very strong in the years to come. And I think we're seeing the initial stages of what's going to be a great rivalry over the next few years.
Yeah, we've spoken over the last year, Charlie, really, since the final win last year, about the hopes to win 5 in a row and become the first men's senior team to do it. Of course, the Cork ladies have done it before. But to have actually achieved that now, the players waking up this morning, and I'm heading off to Crumlin Children's Hospital straight after the show to go and speak to them, and they'll be bringing Sam Maguire around the schools this week and the homecoming during the week as well. They've become history makers, and it's amazing.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're all very young lads. Like, they're very honest, they're very modest. I know they realise what they've done, what they've achieved, but when you talk to these guys and you see them on the streets, they're just ordinary, you know, Joe Soaps. There's no airs or grace about themselves, and that's something that really, really is admirable about them. And Jim, in fairness to them, has made sure that they've kept their feet on the ground at all time, and they're a credit to the association, and they're a credit to Dublin, their clubs and their families.
Yeah, we spoke to one of your other former teammates, Charlie, on the show earlier on, Jason Sherlock, who's on the coaching team with Jim Gavin, and he was asked about the role that Jim has played, and Jim himself was asked about the 5 in a row. And again, even though he's done it, he threw to, you know, the collective and the schools and the sport and the players who didn't make the bench and so on. What will he be thinking now, given he's become a history-making manager? And maybe he won't say it publicly, but surely privately, with his family, with the players, with his own brain, he has to realise how fantastically he's done in all of this.
I think Jim knows exactly what he's done. I think Jim has always been in that mode that he reflects the glory onto other people and never accepts, well, you know, his share of the credit. But that's the nature of the man, and he's not going to change. Now, we're hearing stories that he's thinking of giving up. I hope that isn't the case. I really, really want him to stay on. He has the world at his feet still. There's more All-Irelands to come in that team. And we've made history, but let's go on and create even more history next year.
Why do you think the reports are there, Charlie, about him, you know, maybe considering his future, given, and there are pressures to this job and there's a lot of commitment, and he's working full time for the Air Corps and his family and so on. I saw him bringing his kids and his wife onto the pitch again yesterday at Croker. And maybe the fact that he's achieved the history, does he want to just take a break and go, well, now it's up to someone else, I've left the squad there? Or what do you think the thought process will be? Because the team are so good, surely he would see himself maybe doing more as well.
Absolutely. But I mean, the times that they have to dedicate to get the team to the stage of All Ireland final is enormous. And while the player sacrifices are huge, the management team actually giving even more time in. And he's been doing this job since he was appointed in 2012. He's only lost, I think, a couple of championship games in the interim, probably one possibly. But if he walks away, and he's quite entitled to walk away if he wants to, he owes Dublin nothing. And
yeah.
Dublin, he has given everything that he can give. And we're very proud of him. He's conducted himself at all times in a manner that is beholding of a man of his stature. And we all hope, we all pray that he continues to stay on, because there are more All-Irelands in that team. And there are many more All-Irelands in that team. They're still a young team. They're still evolving. If you look at the team that started yesterday compared to the team that started the five in a row, there's a complete change of the guard. And I'm sure there's change of the guard to come more in the future. And let's hope Jim is there to oversee it.
And a great squad there too, Charlie. And finally, we had some fun with our listeners this morning on the show, asking for them to give us their suggestions for what the phrase or the hashtag might be for going for six in a row next year, because we had the hashtag drive for five this year. Mine, Charlie, is the hashtag search for six. We have buzzing for a half dozen. Six lead the best. Pray for the Shea. Six in the city. Kick for six. They're coming in all over the spot. Kick for six is there as well. It's never been a fix. We're going for six. And they are going for six. And they're going to have their club, of course, championship starting soon. They're going to party for a few days, Charlie, and then they're going to come back next year and try and do it all again.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, and they'll be at one of their throats now in the fortnight time when they're representing their own clubs, as they have to be, because they're proud individuals. They, as I said before, they represent their clubs and their families in an amazing way. And when they put on their Raheny jerseys, their Ballymun jerseys, or their Kilmacud jerseys, they'll do so with great pride, and they want to win for their clubs. And if anyone gets in the way, be it a teammate or not a teammate, they'll go through and get to the ball.
Great. So, Charlie, as always, thanks a million. Enjoy the rest of your day and the weekend, and we'll see you soon. Thanks a mil.
Slán.
Yeah, great stuff there, and thanks very much to Charlie Redmond for joining us. Now, a full podcast of today's show will be up just after 10 a.m, that full chat with Charlie Redmond. And of course, we also heard from Jason Sherlock, Philly McMahon, Michael Darmacauley, Peter Keane, Jim Gavin, and of course the moment yesterday where the Dubs lift the trophy. That's in the podcast section of 98fm.com just after 10. Best of luck to the girls in blue in their All-Ireland final today, and next week on the show at 9, Michael Owen, the Liverpool, England, Newcastle, Man United legend, will be in studio with us. We'll have a Dubs All-Ireland winner too, and the Rugby World Cup, Ireland against Scotland, will be on the agenda too. Have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy your Sunday. See you. Bye-bye.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport, with the Liverpool Football Club Store, ILAC Centre, 98FM.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.